Hi, I'm Simon Campbell.
And I'm Susie Starlight.
Welcome to the Supertone Show.
Mother, Starlight and Campbell. That's the eighth track from our new album, Starlight One, released on the 1st of September and available to pre-order now.
Indeed. And tonight we're going to finish the show with the final track.
We are indeed. It's very exciting.
Yeah, that was a bit short, that one.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that track, it is very interesting, is that you sort of did it on the fly, again, rather like some of the other tracks on the album. You know, we've just whipped stuff out, and you were fiddling around with the Waldorf STVC, which is like TVC150, but it's not, new, boy. And it's a vocoder, so the voice actually controls the keys, so you press the keys, but the keys won't operate until you actually speak or say something.
True.
And you came sort of up with this whole sort of concept, and it is about my mother. And the track before we played last week, The Coat, was about your mother.
That's right, yeah.
Your mother, you know, had Alzheimer's, and she passed away, and very sad, and it's a lovely song and tribute to her. And this is also a tribute to my mother, who wasn't so lovely, and was very controlled influence. But she's dead, and I won't speak ill of the dead anymore. And it's a very personal sort of track. But you did a great job of interpreting the feel, because you know how I feel about it.
Yeah. I think as well, I think with Starlight One as well, you know, like I wrote a love song for Mum, when I was thinking of your mum with this song, it's a song about how parents mean well, but they can really fuck up their kids.
Paradise, I've nice as heaven that you take me to.
Amen Corner, If Paradise Is Half As Nice. Released in February 1969 on the Immediate record label. I love the name of that song. We've played quite a lot of stuff of Immediate. These record labels keep popping up everywhere, don't they, you know? Anyway, went to number one in the UK singles charts for 2 weeks and is the band's most successful single.
I've never heard of them before, even though I know that song.
No.
I don't know this name, Amen Corner. Don't know well, it. This is weird.
Well, I think it's because of my sort of, I wouldn't say I've got an encyclopedic knowledge about British music, because there are people who's encyclopedic, but I do know an awful lot about British music, and what I do know about are the musicians. And of course, here it consists of Andy Fairweather the Low.
I know him.
Neil Jones, Alan Jones.
Jones.
And we'll talk about that in a minute. Blue Weaver. Mike Smith, Clive Taylor and Dennis Byron, who the whole band are from Wales.
Wales?
Yeah, there we are. But Andy Fairweather Low, anyway, went on and he's done some amazing things.
I know about him.
Gilmore, he's played with all sorts of people, you know, and he's a really cool guy. And he still tours. He tours solo. In fact, I think he's playing the Met, where we're playing in October.
He is. In fact,
or he has played.
A couple of years ago, he was either playing some of the similar venues to us. We were either on before him, or he was on just after us. It was quite interesting, actually.
Yeah, that's right. And the other interesting thing is that the keyboard player is this Blue Weaver character.
Yes, Blue Weaver.
He keeps popping up
everywhere.
He's
not a cat, he's a man. It sounds like it's sort of like the blue something, isn't he?
Yes, but Blue Weaver.
We messaged him, actually, because when we lived in Germany.
Near Hanover.
Blue lived, half an hour away from us?
Yeah.
And we messaged because we were going to meet up and then the pandemic happened and all that, blah, blah. So yeah, we've not got to meet him yet.
No, we haven't yet. But he's extremely cool because after they split up, this is Amen Corner, Fairweather Low went on a successful career, of course. He created a new band, which Blue Weaver was in, with some of the original members.
Yeah.
But then Weaver left and the band split up, Amen Corner split up, and he joined the Straubs as Rick Wakeman's replacement.
Can you believe that?
After a successful tour with Mott the Hoople, he joined the Bee Gees.
The Bee Gees! I mean, for Mott the Hoople, right, so you've got Mott the Hoople, I've got a Ross connection.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's bizarre, isn't it, really? I mean, we really are only like one person away from a lot of these musicians, really.
Yeah, and you know, and this guy, I mean, you know, really accessible. He's a friend of ours at first, but he's a really cool guy. But all these people, they've worked with such amazing acts and that, like legends. You know, as soon as you mention Rick Wakeman and the Cape, because of course it's connected with the past few shows that they've done. Because all these people, like Yes, you know, we're talking about Yes the other week, and you know, and it's an amazing sort of web of musicians.
And the reason why we're doing today, well, it's all about Wales, because on our UK tour, we have a date in Wales.
We have.
At the Mid Wales R&B Club in Brecon. We're playing at the Muse on Sunday, the 1st of October. And it's great because it's literally only about half an hour away from where my Nana, Betty, was born in Pontypridd. I've got some friends from school, actually, Jill Garfield, She, I think she's going to come see us in Ross on the day before, because that's where we grew up and went to school together.
That's right. So it's the third date on the tour, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it's the third date. So we've got St. Albans on the Friday the 29th, Ross on the 30th, which is the Saturday. And then the next day we go down the road to Wales. And so we're playing there. And I think we're seeing Jane and Leighton Russ as well. It's great. I mean, we've got some really beautiful Welsh friends. And I'm so, so happy to be playing Wales. And Angus Kings has booked us, and we've had chats on the phone at length. He really cares about who he books and making sure that you're looked after, and all the attention to detail. And it's so, yes, we're going to Wales. So if you're in Wales, anywhere near, come and support this venue and this man, because he really does make such a scene for Brecon, and puts on fabulous music, and is a real music lover and a supporter of the bands that play there. Finger, Day After Day, released on the 10th of November in 1971 in the USA and the 14th of January 1972 in the UK on the Apple record label. Apple as in the Beatles Apple record label. The song was released as a single, became their biggest hit, charting at number 4 in the USA, number 10 in the UK.
Wow.
And guess where they were formed? Swansea.
Wales.
In 1961, and the band are recognised for their influence on 1970s power pop genre. It's estimated that they've sold 14 million records.
Holy shit.
And there's one thing I didn't know. They were initially known as the Ivies, but I didn't know this. They renamed the band Badfinger after the working title of a Beatles song, which was written in 1967. So the song was With a Little Help from My Friends, and the working title for that song was Badfinger Boogie.
Wow.
it's just like loads of stories here. And the band's best known song, most notably for some slide guitar solos, I believe.
Yes, and who played slide in it? You can't really tell, can you?
No, can't tell at all.
George Harrison,
George?
Of course, who also produced it. But he didn't finish mixing it because he went off to do the concert for Bangladesh. So the final mix was done by Todd Rundgren, but he produced it nevertheless.
Yeah.
And we were just talking about it before, as it was going on, because we listened to the tracks before we play. We're not like a normal radio show where what they do, they just drop in the actual, the bits and pieces in between the songs. We listen to the songs, don't we, first?
We live the show, we listen to the music.
We do, we really do. And who does that vocal sound like?
Paul McCartney.
It certainly does. It's incredible.
That's weird, isn't it?
Right at the very end as well. I give you my love to. He really sounds like him. It's amazing.
I've never said that to you before, you know?
No.
But that's like, it's a bit weird, isn't it, when you know that it's on the Beatles Apple label with George Harrison and there's a guy that sounds like Paul McCartney singing.
That's right. And the thing is, the connection as well, because it's Wells connection, because before Eamon Corner, Andy Fairweather the Law, of course, played with George Harrison before he passed away and stuff. So it's like a big connection. And all these bands and labels and stuff, they're inextricably linked, and especially back then. Now it's so disparate, but really there was a connection with everybody, wasn't there? You know, with that Rick Wakeman, the last band, with Blue Weaver, and now we've got these guys, you know, with George Harrison and Andy Fairweather Low, and it's amazing, absolutely amazing.
I find it really interesting, though, because the social scene, can you imagine no social media at the time? So what did you do? You rock up, a bit like Hendrix rocking up to see, you know, Clapton playing. It's like, can I jam with you? With Cream, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It's just like, these things happen. You were there. And I know there were newspaper reporters, but you could actually go out and have a life. And it just feels like the whole world's gone a bit bonkers and is continuing to go a little bit more bonkers.
Every day.
I know.
Every day. But, of course, this is probably one of the saddest stories in the whole of rock and roll because they were caught up in the dissolution of Apple and all the chaos that happened at the end of it. And imagine what they felt like when they got signed. You know, it's the Beatles record label. They're produced by George Harrison. George Harrison played in it, which is the biggest band in the world. They're there selling 50 million records, but they got caught up in it. And Ham, actually Pete Ham, who wrote the song and was a guitar player, committed suicide in 1975.
Oh, so sad, though,
you know. Really, really terrible. Yeah, and Evans, who is the backing vocals and bass guitarist, died by suicide in 1983, leaving Molland, who is the backing vocals and acoustic guitar, as the only surviving member.
Okay, but it's like all your dreams just there, and the pressure. You can't even believe it, can you? That sort of side. See, this industry, I mean, it is an industry. It's when you write beautiful music. I mean, they've sold 40 million songs. But what happens when you're tied up in legal stuff and you can't release, or your label gets taken over and then they shelve the album that you've put everything into for 16? Can you imagine? I mean, it's not straightforward. It's one of the toughest industries, I think, out there, really.
Absolutely. Well, it happened to Talk, you know. I mean, you know,
our
friend Phil Brown, you know, he talks and waxes lyrical in his book, which we just heard this week is no longer going to be printed. So if you can find a printed copy.
Are we still rolling, isn't it?
It's a fantastic book of rock and roll. It's great stories, but it talks in depth about the music industry and stuff.
That's Phil Brown.
Yeah, Phil Brown.
Two L's.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he recorded All Along the Watchtower with Hendrix, didn't he?
He was a tape.
He was the top eight. Top eight?
The top eight. I think you've been doing the Starlight One album cover too long, darling. You know, apes, and that's it. Anyway.
I look like I do not. Since I was shot, there's nobody but you. I know I look blasé. Party end is what the papers say. At dinner, I'm the one who pays. nobody like you, nobody but you, and nobody like you. Since I got shy, there's nobody but you. Won't you decorate my house? I'll sit there quiet as a mouse. You know me, I like to look a lot at nobody but you. I'll hold your hand and slap my face. Your disgrace. Won't you put me in my proper place? A nobody like you. Sundays I pray a lot. I'd like to wind you up and paint your clock. I want to be what I am not for a nobody like you. The bullet split my spleen and lung. The doctor said I was gone. Inside I've got some shattered bone. You. Nobody but you, and nobody like you. Shattered bone for nobody but you. I'm still not sure I didn't die, and if I'm dreaming, I still have bad pains inside. I know I'll never be a bride to nobody like you. I wish I had a stronger chin. My skin was good, my nose was thin. This is no movie I'd ask to be in with a nobody like you. Nobody like you. Nobody like you. All my life, it's been nobody's like you.
Lou Reed and John Cale. Nobody But You. A track from the studio album Songs for Drella, released on April 11th, 1990 on the Sire record label. Composed and produced by Lou Reed and John Cale, both formerly, of course, of art rock legends. Well, probably one of the beginnings of art rock.
Of course.
All right, the Velvet Underground. And the interesting thing about this whole album, it's a song cycle about Andy Warhol, their mentor, who died following routine surgery in 1987. And Drella, so it's Songs for Drella, was a nickname for Warhol, coined by Warhol superstar Ondine, which is a contraction of Dracula and Cinderella, used by Warhol's crowd, but he never liked it himself.
Drella.
Rather like the David Bowie song, Andy Warhol. He hated that song.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah. David Bowie wrote it for him, he didn't like it. But there we are, John Cale and Lou Reed. And John Cale, of course, is from Wales.
Of course.
And that is the reason
very
why.
Talented Welshman.
Very talented.
So talented. Unbelievably talented, that guy.
Yeah, we've played some of his latest records.
He's still going.
Quite a few. Yeah, and that's right. And he did like a duet with Waze Blood. And that was fantastic.
I've worked with him. We should write him a letter.
Why not?
I really like him.
I do. He's very, very cool. He still looks cool as well. I mean, really cool, you know?
Yeah, that always helps.
It's like Chris Stein. He looks really cool.
Yeah,
he's still got
that
floppy
day,
hair.
Right?
He's grey, but he's floppy, you know. And John Cale, he just looks sort of better, you know.
I think what I love about it as well, these artists that we love, you know, they're still going. There's no such thing as numbers when it comes to anything to do with longevity here. When you're an artist, you're just an artist. You know, you do your thing. Mm. It doesn't just stop when you get to 35. I mean, a footballer might have to stop playing, but there's no reason whatsoever that you would stop. I mean, it's ludicrous to even think that.
It is.
It's just like, that's what you do, and you just carry on doing it. I really don't understand some mentalities or some perceptions of this kind of whole thing. It's just bonkers bananas to me.
Well, I think Les Paul, he played his last show, because he had a residency in New York, and he played his last show the week before he died. And that was it.
Way to go, son.
He cocked it, and that was, you know, I mean, some of the greatest artists have died on stage. You know, Tommy Cooper, because they all thought when he actually had a heart attack.
Yeah,
I think he had a heart attack. And
he did.
That's right. And everybody thought he was just playing the fool.
Yeah, he was, yeah.
You know, and it was on stage in front of a massive, but what a way to go, you know, it's fantastic.
I know, but the thing is also, when you have a build-up of experience, that means that you've got so much more to give because you've got a body of knowledge and you're still sort of tearing things up and looking at new things and putting things together. I mean, it's just phenomenal. And what this song, by the way, it sounds a little bit calypso. There's something in there, as if I can imagine SpongeBob with SquarePants coming along, like Monsterism Island.
You know, it's
like, it, isn't it? It's got that kind of, you could, because that you know, that Monsterism Island thing, album that we've got, it has that little bit of that kind of aquatic kind of flow, kind of, you know, palm trees and beaches, isn't it? And SpongeBob's behind, of course, grinning. I always picture him on these kind of, because it's that kind of song from the theme. Anyway, yeah.
Well, you know what I also love about this album is that they wrote it, they played it, and they produced it themselves.
Yeah.
You know? So everything on it is done by them. John Cale, multi-instrumental, of course, because he was a classically trained viola player, I think, wasn't he? Royal Academy in London or something. He went and he pissed off to America. But, of course, you know, formed the Velvet Underground with Lou Reed. But it's absolutely amazing. And this art rock thing, that is what I think, why we have really taken to it. Because this last record that we, and we're going to later on play the final track from the record.
Yeah.
And I think the reason why we're really connected with this art rock scene is that all these people, you know, the real, you know, they all play everything and they're insistent on making sure that they're in control of the image, they're in control of the videos, they're in control of the way they look. You know, they've all got that thing, you know, Roxy Music and Talking Heads and... Because David Byrne's a master of art rock, you know?
Yeah.
And, you know, that big suit thing, you know, when he did, Stop Making
But he didn't
sense.
Just arrive at that. He didn't just do it straight off.
No.
He did a lot of experimentation and years and years and years and years of working, of just trying new things, touring, trying new things, until that connected in that way. So you don't just get your first album and that's it. You don't get your second album and that's it.
Yep.
You just keep on putting out work and you're doing it with love. And it's really then, you know, as long as you do your best. But I know what you mean about this art rock thing. I'm so inspired.
Yeah, and I think, you know, because recently, you know, we've people have been playing our new record because it's been released now to the radio stations. They've been playing it. And we've had a lot of comments back saying, you know, they love it, it's incredible and all this sort of carry on. And then there are other people who've said it's incredible, but... And when they say but, and they say, well, but it's not blues, but it's something completely different. And we say, yep, it sure is. You know, and would the, you know, everybody said that about Radiohead, but they also said it about the Yardbirds, you know.
Yeah.
And they also said it about Peter Green's Fleetwood Mac, you know, when he did Oh Well and all that, because that was really progressive. It wasn't blues, it was rock music. And what they were doing with all those things, you know, Green Man Alicia, what's all that about, you know? And because it's moving on, you know, the blues is a great place to start. And everybody started in the blues or jazz, you know, they've all started with those three chords. But then people either get bored or they want something more, they want to be more artistic and creative. And I think that... that is what is the beauty of, you know, when you listen to some of those 60s bands, you know, because, you know, Pink Floyd came out of the blues. Everybody came out of the blues in that time because they were all playing that sort of music. I mean, all of them, you know. Anyway, so that's art rock as far as I'm concerned. John Cale, Lou Reed, we love you.
We'll be right back.
We'll Party. Put the message in the box. It's the second single from their studio album, Goodbye Jumbo, released on the 24th of April in 1990 on Enzyme Records. And the album received generally positive reviews from critics and peaked at number 73 on the US Billboard 200 and number 36 on the UK Albums Chart. And we're playing this as well because Carl Wallinger, is it Wallinger or Wallinger?
Wallinger.
Wallinger was born in Prestatyn in Wales. And today, the Supertone Show is all about Wales because we're playing a concert at the Mid Wales R&B Club on the 1st of October, which is a Sunday, 2023.
We certainly are.
So, Welsh
now,
artists.
Wallow.
Bring it on.
This is my favourite album from 1990. I played extensively. I love World Party. We've got the CD. In fact, I think we've got the vinyl. It's lurking. It's lurking in the back
somewhere.
But
I've got the vinyl. You know, when we got together, I brought the vinyl into our relationship.
No.
I did. Can I tell you why?
Why?
Because when I was working as a TV presenter in Liverpool, I was invited to a special press concert at Night and Day in Manchester of World Party, and I got assigned vinyl.
No.
Put that in your pipe, love. Yeah, I know.
Well, I love Carl Wallinger. And again, you talk about art rock. Well, he did the vocals. He played everything. He did all the design for the albums and everything. He engineered it.
He's a lovely
it.
Guy.
He produced it. But on here as well is Guy Chambers, who plays synthesizer and sampler. Okay? And on this album, Sinead O'Connor sings. Now, we were talking about Sinead, of course, last week, late great Sinead O'Connor, because Carl Wallinger actually did some of the arrangements on the album that Nothing Compares to You is on.
The Lion and the Cobra.
Yeah, The Lion and the Cobra, yeah.
He's doing that as well, because she guested on the first two albums from World Party.
And his first record, he made at home.
He did.
Because he started off as a stint as a musical director for a West End performance of the Rocky Horror Picture
Show. I love the Rocky Horror Show. And can I say, if you're a musical director of any theatre show, you know your baked beans.
Yeah, absolutely.
You've got to know. Can you imagine? You've got to know all the instruments.
Yeah.
You've got to know how they work in the arrangement. And you've got, I mean, you've got to know how to, who's playing a duff note. You've got to know everything. You've got to be so talented to be a musical director.
If you don't go away from this show singing that, put the message in the box, put the box into the car, drive the car around the world. It is amazing. What a chorus! It's fantastic. And that lovely guitar down, ba da 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 da. And if you listen to it carefully, the guitar, the arrangements, it's got a really dirty sound on he's bringing in the vocal. It's a masterful arrangement. And you know something? They did a tour of America in 2015, and the website hasn't been updated since. And I looked at it the other day when I was doing the research, a little bit of research for the show. Because we do this sort of research between us, because we program them between us. This week, I program most of it. But, you know, because Susie's been busy with promotion and learning songs and all that sort of stuff. So we sort of split it up. But I think what we love to do with this show is that we don't like to be predictable. And every time somebody listens to the Supertone Show, they're going to hear something different. They're not going to hear John Cale from the Velvet Underground. They hear John Cale with Lou Reed from Songs for Dolls, something different. And I think my great inspiration for that radio style, and hopefully, I mean, we're nowhere near on the same universe or galaxy as John Peel, but I remember listening to John Peel and the songs. And all of a sudden, you get some horrible punk thing going on. Then the next thing, you get really horrible. And then you get reggae. And then you get The Fall, who were always on there, you know, doing sessions. And then you'd get Led Zeppelin. Then you'd get, you know, he was totally eclectic in his taste. And he always gave everybody something to complain about at night. You know,
after
was crap. Oh, God, did you hear what he played tonight? But then you'd hear something absolutely beautiful, you know.
I love that, though, because that's really what it's all about, isn't it? Musical discovery. I mean, that's really why we do this as well, because we're both learning. I mean, we work so blinking hard all week. It's actually our date night. We can actually sit across and look into each other's eyes and actually talk.
And that's why we
about
actually
music.
Yeah,
we love
and that's
it.
Why we'll have listened to the songs beforehand, because it is a date night.
Take a look at me now.
Stereophonics, Dakota, of course, released in the United States as Dakota, You Made Me Feel Like the One, was the first single taken from their fifth studio album, Language, Sex, Violence, Other, released on 28th of February 2005 on V2 Records. Dakota was the first and, today, the only stereophonic single to reach number one in the UK singles charts and on the US Billboard charts, Modern Rock Track charts. It's also the band's highest charting single in both Australia and New Zealand. What a song!
I know that one. just putting my hands up there.
I thought you might do, yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know them all. And especially if they're blokey bands, you know. It's not really my... Well, it didn't used to be my thing, but now I'm a rocker and play bass. Of course it is. Yeah. Right up my street.
Yeah.
Love it.
Rock and roll.
But of course, they're a Welsh band. And formed in 1992 in the village of Cwmaman in the Keenan Valley in Wales.
Yeah.
Which is... I've just Googled it. It's about an hour and 15 minutes from where I was born.
No.
In Ross and Wye.
Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. So I think that's brilliant. I love Wales. I actually Googled that to make sure I knew how to pronounce it properly as well.
We don't want to get any hot water. Because
Keenan Valley is spelt C-Y-N-O-N.
Is that right?
Yeah. I thought, I want to get this right. Because sadly, I had great auntie Winnie. She was Welsh. My Nana Betty was Welsh. But they didn't teach me any Welsh. So I don't think they knew it. I knew no star, but I think, I didn't really know too much of the language or how to pronounce it. So it's good to keep learning, you know.
Well, it sure is. And you know, again, this is another band which is sort of run and produced and done everything by Kelly Jones, who wrote this song. You know, absolutely amazing. And I love his guitar playing. It's such energy and it's great melodies. And there's like about three or four hooks, isn't there?
It,
you know, all the way through the song. And it is the biggest, you know, signed. And it's the sort of thing that we wouldn't normally play on the show. But you can't not play this song when you're talking about stereophonics.
One thing, you look at the notes of this and you start to look at the song and stuff, is like... There's always this thing when bands are going, I need to find a sound, you know, and he was looking for a new sound and he was in Paris on a promo tour for the fourth album, You gotta Go There to Come Back. Great title. And it's true, isn't it? It's really
good. Like The Hobbit, isn't it?
Yeah, you know? It's like, it is.
Yeah.
That's a really nice parallel, actually. So he said he actually texted the label manager just saying, I think I've got a song that's like, I've got this, a big song. He found it. And then, but the working title, now this Sod's Law as well, was Vermilion. Because it was he wrote the lyrics in South Dakota, a place called Vermilion. But then Slipknot released a song called Vermilion. And then Mercury Rev released a sixth album. And there was a song on it called Vermilion. So they decided they're going to change the title of the song from Vermilion to Dakota.
You don't have to be beautiful to turn me on. I just need your body, baby, from dusk till dawn. You don't need experience to turn me out. You just leave it all up to me. I'll show you what it's all about. You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Ain't no particular sign I'm more compatible with. I just want your extra time and your kiss. You gotta not talk dirty, baby, if you wanna impress me. You can't be too flirty, mama. I know how to undress me. Let me be your fantasy, and maybe you could be mine. You just leave it all up to me. Have a good time. You don't have to be rich to be my girl. You don't have to be cool to rule my world. Ain't no particular sign I'm more compatible with.
want your extra time and your kid. Think I better dance now.
The Art of Noise featuring Tom Jones. Kiss releases a single in October 1988 on China Records. Tom Jones was born in Pontypridd, the same town as my Nana Betty.
How can we not do a show about Wales without having Tom in it?
Exactly.
Trevor Horn, Anne Dudley, JJ Zekerzilik. Amazing. What great production. I just love that record when it came out. It's kind of dated in a way, but it still sounds fantastic. If you don't dance that... you are dead. Anyway, that's the end of the show.
It is. And we were actually, this show's, the Supertone show's been all about Wales because as part of our UK tour, we'll be playing on the Sunday, the 1st of October, at the Muse in Brecon, at the Mid Wales R&B Club. Tickets available. And also, Starlight One is available to pre-order now. And you can just go to our website. It's Starlight, that's star, L-I-T-E, campbell.com. Check us out. Have a listen. Have a fidget around, have a rummage around the website.
180 gram vinyl, CD and download and subscription, all from available from the website.
And I didn't know about the Milky Clear. It's the first time we've done Milky Clear vinyls on because we've been told that it's the best quality in the world you can have right now. And the lacquers were cut it by Marshall Abbey Road in London.
Indeed. And the last track that we're going to play today is the last track from the album. And you will understand why when you get to the end of it that we couldn't put this at the beginning of the show because it is the end of the album and it's very much an end. This is one of my favourite tracks from the record, if not the favourite track. You know, I used a real Leslie, which is a rotating speaker from the 60s on it, baritone guitar. Susie's bass line's fantastic. I just love the sequencing. I love the synth part that you put in the middle. But when you get to the end, there's something quite special and magical, which always almost brings me to tears. And when we talk about art rock and progressive rock or whatever we're doing, I don't know what this is, but it's certainly rock music. This, to me, is the epitome of the album. It's a conclusion to the record, which should be listened to in two parts.
Yeah.
Side A and then side B, rather like a vinyl. You can only have a cup of tea in between if you choose to, or a beer, or whatever you fancy. You know, but this is, to me, one of the best pieces of work we've ever produced, in my opinion.
Well, it's, we called it, it's A Part of Me is Broken, Part Two. And it's a story, but what it's like, you know, in life, if there's something that you really want to say and you maybe think you've got a long time to say it, well, maybe what happens if you haven't got a long time to say it? So I think with this album, we've been very much, we're saying it now from the heart. We love you. And we really hope that Starlight One becomes a soundtrack to your life. So here it is, A Part of Me is Broken, Part Two.
Thank you.
You're somebody being someone else, and I will never know you. A parody of borrowed skin, a sequined hat, battered tin. Enamel flaking off your lips from rusty words and broken hinge. You bend the knee to polarizing confusion. Saliferous ear of sparkling delight. What more do you need? What more do you want? The legacy of memory eroded by dementia. Replaced by the fallacy of eternal youth. In the flicker of an eye, time will forget you ever existed and move along. With no teary heart or regretful dreams, because time does not remember. It just moves forward like an iceberg through space. For now.